Mr. Lister, reel four. We got to the point where the second line regiments were being formed, 14th and 16th and such. Was it at this point you were posted to the 16th?
Shortly after, there was a sergeant major and one or two senior NCOs posted to form the 16th that hadn't even started then to Scotland, I think it was Dalkirk. That many conscripts or anything, it just gone to form the thing. It was sometime after that that I joined them. But in the intervening period, introduced a marvellous thing to Bramsworth Camp called a mock tank.
What was that?
It was a motor car chassis with a lightweight wooden frame in the shape of a tank, with a canvas covered black and grey camouflage and a wooden gun. No, just saying. And I was given the honour of driving the damn thing. It's taken on, they were going into more intensive exercise training and things by then. And it's going up northwest Durham on the moors, concert and that sort of places outside there, and do all these exercises. And I had to drive this something, and you know, well, I mean, the wind's howling across these places, and I spent more time in the air than I did on the ground. I was frightened to death of it, to tell you the truth. But there's a sensation that the people in the villages used to turn out and wonder what the hell bloody hell we're going to win the war with it. That's what we're going to use for tank fighting. I didn't blame them.
And what were you doing? Were you being the enemy tanks or the British tank? You know.
Oh, I was usually the enemy, you know. An officer with you usually wasn't necessarily always an officer from the camp, it might be one of them that was refereeing the exercise, you know, and you were the target, and they had they weren't firing that long, but they had to say when the artillery hit me or hit me or when they hadn't, and all this bit, it's ridiculous. Fortunately, I was quite glad to be posted to the 16th Battalion.
So when exactly were you posted to the 16th? Do you remember the month?
Yeah, it was when they moved down from Scotland to... when they moved from Scotland to Norfolk, to Yarmouth. They moved from Scotland to Yarmouth, and I moved from Bransworth to Yarmouth.
And that would be January 41.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
It had been formed in July, hadn't it? So it had been.
That's right, yeah.
So during all that time, you just carried on, during the rest of 1940, you carried on with this tank, mock tank, your training.
Doing a bit of driving. Stopped the driving in Stucken for that period, the brief period, and then. We moved up to the new camp, you know, in that time. And,
the properly formed Bransworth camp, then?
Yeah.
So you weren't based at Meadowfield anymore?
No, I was at the new camp. The scrounging days were over, more or less. You had employed man's parade and things like that. And the succession of RSMs. We always say the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, and we always seem to get one worse than the last.
Had you had enough of life at Bransworth then?
It was getting a bit tedious, yeah. And especially when you have to start to spend so much time doing drills and I was physically fit to start with. I mean, they made a great thing about fitness. And then we got, I've known him for some time because he was, when I first went to Meadowfield, he came back from abroad. He was Sergeant Thomason, and it was Sergeant Major Thomason, one of the companies, and then he was RSM Thomason. He came to the 16th Battalion, a grand chap, sportsman, very much very regimental, but if you showed any interest at all in any kind of sport, he was a good all-rounder, but any kind of sport, and didn't stand for any nonsense from anybody, but he would probably stand for a hard trick if you did something worthwhile. And when I was at Transfer, I used to go training with him early morning instead of doing PT with the others. He used to say, come on, run. He used to run the legs up and so I said I was a good one. And then shower and go back to where you do whatever you happen to be doing. And at that time I was in the MT office.
What were you doing in there?
I probably ran the damn thing because the MDO at the time was never to be found.
Where was he?
What?
Where was he?
Skiving off in a military vehicle to see one of his lady loves, no, don't they?
So what were your, what was running an MT office like at Brandsburg? What did you do?
Well, I shouldn't have been doing it because, I mean, as I said, I was only at MP, Brandsburg. But it should have been somebody who was seen to me. And, I was responsible for checking about the petrol tank, you know, with 250 gallons. And it had to be dipped every day and checked and all this. And
you were that was to make sure people weren't stealing it.
It was allowed 2% of operation. And you were responsible for, it was his responsibility for allotting transport. We had some Boston 8s. Canvas top smashing job, and we had six buses and press buses, like, and six city bus drivers. But then decided that the army drivers weren't good enough, and I'm pleased about that because some of them were terrible old things to start, and. Four three twins, I think it was, and 4:30 in the race, and about six motorbikes. Instead of 70, he was responsible to see all these things were done, but he never used to bother. And he was always lending things out, lending vehicles out, and telling this officer or that officer, they could borrow this or they could borrow that. He wasn't really entitled to do it. But, it's a long story, but I wouldn't like to go any further. He came to a sad end eventually, but, military wise. But, there was a shortfall on the petrol, see, and he had letters from the DADOS at York, you know, he'd had telephone calls and 99s out of 10 he wasn't in. And the phone rang one morning, there's still a problem with this pet. And this blokes, this. The captain Tracy. I said, no. He said, who are you? I said, Lance Corporal this. He says, who's in charge? I says, I am. Damn it, he said, you can't be. I said, I am. I didn't ask him where he was, I shouldn't have. And he said, well, look here. You must find this fellow Bracey. I must speak to him. It's imperative that I speak to him. Well, I knew nicely he was in here, but I couldn't tell him that. I knew he was an officer in place. Told me. I said, well, I'll get something. I said, I think he's gone into to Durham for something, you know. He said, well, immediately he gets back, I want to speak to him. I said, very good, you know. And he said, this is Lieutenant Colonel something. And he said, and this isn't, that's what it sounds like. He says, you know who I am. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, see what I'm doing with this credit? I said, I dip it every day, so, you know, morning and night when it's local. He said, and you know this decision. He says, well, I said, you're allowed 2% of operation. Don't you tell me what you're allowed. He said, I know you're allowed 2% of operation, but he says, there's a damn hell of a difference. And he said, if you know, if you were dipping the tank, you know what the difference is. You know, over the past, I remember, about 3 months. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I must speak to this man. Because he didn't arrive back about 5 o'clock at night, and he was in a complete panic then, mate. I told him exactly what had transpired. He says, well, you shouldn't have told me, you know what, mate? He said, I don't know about it. I said, I'll come off it. I said, you know, you're not going to wear that, you know. And anyhow, I says, I don't want this job anymore. I said, I'm going to get the tour for your shortcomings, you know. Oh, I'll be all right. He says, I'll see the CEO and all this business. But what I was taken off it actually at my own request, and I went as a company driver at one of the outlying companies.
So what had been happening to the petrol? Did
well,
you?
He was giving the damn stuff away, and, you know, and
when he lent the vehicles out,
and using it for private trips and things like that, and he couldn't accomplish.
Now you were posted to the 16th Battalion. Now was that in January? They went from Scotland to Thetford, I think, and in July they went to Yarmouth. Which was it when you joined them?
On the move from Thetford when I joined them.
So that'd be July 41 you joined them, not January.
July.
And what were your first impressions when you joined the 16th Battalion? I mean, you were an old instructor. Well, not old, but you know what I mean.
Well organised by them, in my opinion, but I mean, obviously not in that of the hierarchy, although the only one is eventually of the 3, 14, 16, 17 that were, became an active service between.
Most of them would be conscripts, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
How did you feel? I mean, you were an old territorial. Did you look down on conscripts, or did you have any views at all about them? Were you proud yourself of being a territorial?
Proud of being a territorial, the more so because, although it was a bit of a dodgy outfit training wise, when you look at it in retrospect, it was of tremendous value to you in later years, and conscripts tended to take you. I mean, very few of them knew I was a territory. They took me for a regular, you know. And as I said, I never corrected anybody's views because it was an advantage to me.
Now, when you were posted there, who were you posted to within the battalion?
Oh, the headquarters company, me, the MT.
To the MT section. And who was your MT officer at that time in the 16th? Do you remember?
Yeah, he was an old brother. I can't remember his name because we got a new one.
And you went, you weren't any, you'd go in as a driver, as a private, wouldn't you?
I went into the workshop as a motor mechanic.
Not as a driver.
We did our own then. There was just one, there wasn't the Royal, there wasn't the Remy, it was the Royal Army Ambulance Corps. It was just the one NCO. This old gypsy bloke who was also nearly expired his time, you know. He used to wear a red scarf around his neck in his uniform, which the annoyance of most of the higher up. And somehow or another managed to get the, when he was pulled up. After goodness knows how many kids, he managed to get the MO to agree to say that he was letting it for medical reasons. I think it's a tough thing.
So you joined as a fitter. How many fitters would there be?
There was the RAOC sergeant in charge, and there was a full corporal, a lance corporal. Yeah, would be.
Plus you.
And myself.
And what sort of duties were you on? I mean, working. Was there much to do in the workshop?
Well, I got the job of maintaining the motorbikes specifically because I seem to have a reasonable knowledge of them.
Now, they'd be the motorbikes belonging to the Donars, used by the Donars,
yes,
would they?
Yes, remember, they got a lot of humpy because when they were on air defence and whatnot, you know, they used them extensively, and also there were even on occasions by officers who, a lot of them weren't particularly good at handling the bikes, so they got them damaged.
Which bikes were they?
Norton's. Norton 499s, big Norton, and Matchless, and I think there were a couple of BSAs as well.
Was there anything to choose between them as bikes?
Norton's were the simplest to maintain and probably the fastest, but it was very hot riding and your legs used to burn. The Matchless were 350s, very, very nippy and easy to handle. And the Breezes were 500s, they were tremendously heavy and too low, but all right for civvies, you know, the road work, but they were too low to the ground. It wasn't as clear as between the sump and the ground, you know. They were always getting bashed.
So they were the worst?
Pardon?
They were the least effective of the bikes?
The least effective, but they were by far the best bikes.
But they were road bikes?
They were road bikes, without question.
So you were just on maintaining them. That's what you spent your days doing then?
Virtually all. time on them.
Did you enjoy that sort of work?
I did, yes.
What just the, what did you enjoy about it?
Just, well, just like having a hobby. To me, you know, I was just doing something I like to do.
Were you doing any? I mean, were you riding them at all? Or I mean,
I used to take all sorts of liberties. I went all over Norfolk on tests.
So when you'd fixed it, you'd have to test it.
Yeah.
And when you tested it, you just went where you wanted.
You were supposed to have a work ticket and a movement order, but I can't remember ever being pulled up and asked for one.
And that was all you did? You didn't have any other duties?
We were billeted in a pub.
Do you remember the name? Can you tell us that story? That sounds a good one.
Well, I'd have one of these bikes out, and I decided that it wanted something else doing, but somebody else took it without asking me, you know, and the brakes were dodgy. So I went and brought up from BHQ and said, this bike, why that? I said, I didn't know it was. I said, somebody just came and took it. As a matter of fact, it was an officer. Came and took it, and he says, the brakes are over. Better come and get it. And see if it's done properly this time and all this business. So I made a minor adjustment to my own satisfaction and built it back to the, as I said, there was a few times. But I felt the problem. Shut down the corner, there was a big area in front of the pub, gravel, you know. And on the right was a house that we were building in a bakery, a local baker. We were building it within, it's like three of us. And the others were in the pub upstairs. And I felt it into the yard, slammed the brakes on, nothing happened, hit the walls. Head and shoulders straight through the wind into the bar. The old bloke sitting looking at me. And believe it or not, miraculously, all I got was a bruise on the head. I didn't get cut. But, and it didn't do much damage to the bike. It was my dignity that suffered the most. And then we weren't bothered about breaking the window because we mixed some glass and replaced it free. So.
What were your billets like in the bakers?
Oh, lovely. She treated you like one of the family.
Did they provide you food?
No. We had. We used to go and draw our rations. It was about a mile and a half to BHQ. We used to go and draw our rations, and because we were up there and billeted up there, we used to draw dry tea and stuff like that, so that we'd go all along. And you had the option of having your meal down there or bring it back up with you and re-eating it. Like, well, half the time it was the inevitable stew. Like, so we used to, if possible, we used to get a tin of corned beef, you know, we got a tin between so many. And
as well or instead?
No, instead. And scorch and vegetables out the pool garden. It was the smartest garden at the back end.
You preferred that to their stew, then?
We used to do our own. Well, the stew wasn't bad, but I mean, you know, you got this monotonous. I mean, we used to go to the pub, and we used to get. Another thing we got was sandwiches, you know, from the cookhouse. And so we always had bread and we always had some kind of meat, preferably the corned beef. And we used to do our own version of stew and the occasional occasion of Cheekham and Robert the Two that the sergeant provided in his inveterate pro portrait.
That was the gypsy like chap.
And he used to score his own means and things. And we didn't do it on our own, but we did it, and ours was a bean, a sort of a meeting room, a concert room or something, immediately above the bar and the buffet, you know.
And it had a big in the fire, pub?
Yeah, it had a big fireplace. Well, we weren't provided with fuel, but the coal has a miraculous way of appearing, which it did. And he was a pretty good bloke at knocking things up this time. He used to do it most of it, but he used to have that when we finished our duties in the daytime, you know, you were free from early from 6 o'clock or something, and we were excused guard duties because we were supposed to be guarding our own place, which we never did.
As the MT section.
Locked the doors and
what did you do for entertainment then? We
used to go into Norwich, probably every night and every weekend.
And were you still drinking?
Yeah.
Was that your hop?
There was dancers there. Quite good dancers. And there was cinemas in the theatre. I saw Tom Walls and Ray Flynn there. And used to use the hotel buffet next door. Quite interesting people to talk to.
Was there any, I mean, you know, with soldiers chasing local girls, and was there trouble with the young men or in the town?
There weren't many young men in these places by then because they were virtually all whipped into the army or navy or air force or whatever, you know. There was actually more women than men, you know.
There's no trouble with other units in the area?
Well, that was inevitable. You always clashed with somebody. Not too bad.
Was there much drink? I mean, it's obvious you like to drink. Was there much drinking? Would people get drunk, or could they afford to?
I was going to say, if they could afford to, they possibly did, but there wasn't many that could. If there were chaps that was accustomed to drinking quite a lot, and you used to find that, Normans and Northeasterners and Scotsmen drank far more than Southerners. They were capable of drinking more, I think, than we used to drink in stronger ales, and I couldn't stand the mile that they sold around there. I could drink it by the pailful, and it just didn't do me any good at all. It kept me running to the toilet.
But it didn't make you drunk?
No.
What about, I mean, the battalion at Yarmouth, they were meant to be on beach defence.
Yes.
Now, you wouldn't have anything to do with that, would you?
And then the companies were spread about.
Along the coast?
All along, you know. And then when we were on airfield defences, the companies were spread about.
Now, before we leave, because that was at Worstead Park, I think.
Colonel Sebald Montefiore was the CO, and then Colonel Murray took over, and he was a great bloke.
Now, before we go into him, while you were at Yarmouth, there were supposed to be a lot of air raids. Do you remember them?
I remember some of them. The intensive, there weren't mass air raids, there were just possibly two or three planes that had, you know, that, and even single planes that were dodging about, as I said, looking for some particular airfield and possibly not able to find it, so they just used to find the biggest place they could.
And that was Yarmouth.
Jettison the bombs, and that happened to be it, but I was never actually in it. So only the bombs dropped there, so.
So they were all away.
I couldn't tell you. I can't remember now, but I'm sure we had quite a few casualties on one occasion from there.
But you weren't there.
But I wasn't involved personally. I wasn't involved in an air raid wasn't it?